Paul had a life that was poured out. He did God's will in the context of sacrifice and serving Christ, and he did it with other believers. Are you doing that? Do you have a life well spent? You see, we have rebels in the church these days, not offering themselves to Christ, but offering themselves to sin, not serving in the context of what God has called them to do.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the title of today's broadcast will likely resonate with just about everyone listening.
Indeed it will, Dave, because everybody wants to find true joy. So how can we find it? Well, this is what we're going to see today, so turn with us in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 18.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Romans 15:15. But I have written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God. And what was that grace that God gave him to do? To be a minister of Christ Jesus. Now that word we're going to see was where we get our word liturgy. It speaks of sacred service. To perform sacred service for Christ to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest of the gospel of God, that my offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. God's called me to preach, Paul's saying, that's his gifting as an apostle, to preach the word of God to the Gentiles, and that was this wonderful sacrifice, this ministry, the sacred ministry. And each one of us has been given a gift. Each one of us has a sacred ministry before the Lord. It's not simply your offering every day. It's what God has gifted you to do in the body of Christ. And he shares that in his word. Now the word back in our passage, where we see that he is an offering on top of the sacrifice and then their service, that's our word, liturgo. It basically speaks of sacred service. Paul was sold out to serve Christ, and so were the Philippians. And Paul, inspired by the Spirit, understood that our serving, not only do we offer a sacrifice, but we minister as servants. We minister as servants. We need a right mindset. We're serving God. Just like those priests ministered in the Old Testament. They did what God said. We do what God says in regards to the body of Christ, in regards to offering ourselves as sacrifices. You see, Paul understood what his calling was, and he saw it as sacred service. So here in our passage, he relays what's going on back in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. But even if, or since I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. So we see here the Apostle Paul is ministering with the Philippians. He wasn't a Lone Ranger Christian. He saw his sacrifice, his being poured out in conjunction with their sacrifice and service. There was a unity and union of the serving within the Philippians. They served together. He wasn't a Lone Ranger Christian or missionary. He served in the context of the body of Christ. We talk about Paul's missionary journeys. He served in the body of Christ and with the body of Christ as he went. Notice back in chapter 1, verse 7. Notice what he says. Both in my imprisonment and in defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. What about chapter 1, verse 30? Experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. What about chapter 2, 25? He speaks of Epaphroditus, the one that the Philippians sent to help him. Okay? But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. They worked together. They ministered together. They ministered to each other. What about the two ladies who had a little conflict in chapter 4, verse 3? Take a look at that. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel. They didn't share their struggle in the cause of life. In the cause of the calling of the gospel, the word getting out and life's being changed through Jesus Christ, they shared a struggle. together with Clement and also and the rest of my what? Fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. I'm just the pouring out on the top. This is the same sacrifice. We're doing this together. But it's your sacrifice and service unto the Lord. And I'm just the top part of that, that last bit. What about in the end of the book? We see Paul shares his affection for the Philippians. Look at verse 14 in chapter 4. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. They shared finances. They served him financially. And you yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. He said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which it increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance and am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. They sacrificed in serving him. They sacrificed in providing for him. They were sacrificing together for the cause of the gospel. Paul was not a Lone Ranger Christian. They ministered together. So back in our chapter, notice he says back in chapter 2, verse 17, since I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Paul had a life that was poured out. He did God's will in the context of sacrifice and serving Christ. And he did it with other believers. Are you doing that? Do you have a life well spent? Are you doing that? You see, we have rebels in the church these days, not offering themselves to Christ, but offering themselves to sin, not serving in the context of what God has called them to do. Now, God's the one that sees that mainly. We're not pointing people out. But Paul wasn't that way. He wasn't that way. You see, each one of us has received gifts. We're all to offer ourselves up, and it's a sacrifice. And someday, I pray that when it gets to the end, it'll be like that cup pouring out, where it's that final sacrifice. We've been faithful and fought the good fight, and poof, it's up, and we're in the Lord's presence. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I desire for you. You need to give up your will to serve the Lord. And guess what? Your will holds on pretty tight. You got to repent, and God will set you free. You see, Jesus said that when you sin, you become a slave to sin. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And that's certainly true for salvation, but that's true for our walk with Him. Trust Him, let Him set you free, and then offer yourself to Him. Spend your life well. Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:15, and I most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you the more, am I to be loved less? He loved them. And he was spent for the body of Christ. Now, before we move on and look at the results of someone who's spent their life for Christ, the joy that comes from that, even in the midst of great difficulty, I want you to notice one little point here that we need to point out first. Look at our passage back in chapter 2, verse 17. But even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of what? Your faith. We never offer ourselves up without trusting the Lord and obeying His word. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ. We don't do His will and His work apart from trusting in Jesus Christ. You can offer yourself up all you want, and a lot of people do that. But if it isn't by faith, truly walking with Jesus Christ, depending on Him, it is not a true acceptable sacrifice. It's worthless. It's stinky. It's not a pleasant aroma. It's by faith. The sacrifice and service of your faith. You see, as I mentioned, faith works. Faith's going to work. We're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work in us. We're to work it out by allowing God to change my mind towards you, seeing you as more important than myself and trusting Him to enable me to obey His word towards you. Seeing God is more important. Turn to James chapter 2. Here we see that James confronts phony saving faith. You see, some people say, I've got faith in Jesus. I've been saved. And James shares, well, from the fruit of that faith, is that faith really going to save you? That's the implication. Is it really saving faith? Is that truly genuine faith that's being manifest? James chapter 2, Verse 14, now James has confronted the sinful partiality of those not walking in love according to the royal law, those who will be judged by the law of liberty, those who are to so speak and act. He's addressing their partiality, their lack of mercy and love, and those who may not know the Lord because they don't act as they should, as we'll see. And then he has this statement then in James chapter 2, verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If that faith isn't producing a changed life, is that saving faith? And he gives example of true saving faith. He gives some illustrations. Let me share those in verse 15. If a brother and sister go without clothing and need of daily food, and one of you says, go in peace, be warmed and filled, that's a Jewish way of saying something spiritual. The Lord will take care of you, whatever it might be, you know. He says here, be warmed, and yet you do not give him what is necessary. What use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead. There's no love in that. There's no love for someone in need. Genuine need. Not talking about needs we have these days around here, but genuine needs, food and clothing. But if someone will say, you have faith, and I have works, show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. Yeah, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. He's saying just a knowledge of things isn't faith, isn't true saving faith. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? It's not a true, genuine faith. That's his point. Now notice the example he gives. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Now he's going to explain this. When he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar. Do you remember God called Abraham? Abraham, Abraham, Genesis 22. Here I am. Take your son, your only son, the son in whom you love, and offer him a sacrifice where I'll show you. He obeyed. He obeyed. His faith worked out. He believed the Lord. He even believed that God could raise him from the dead. I and the lad, we will worship and return to you, he said to his servants. He had faith. And notice what it says. Was not Abraham justified by works when he offered up Isaac and his son on the altar? You see, that faith, now he's going to explain, was working with his works. As a result of the works, the faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The reality is, and you have an illustration of Rahab, the reality that the faith without works is just like the body without the spirit, faith without works is dead. You say you have faith in Jesus, but you're not obeying Jesus. That faith is dead. But these Philippians weren't dead. They were in Christ. They were true believers. Just as you have always obeyed, keep working out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's going to work. The sacrifice and service of your faith. But yet, as you and I know, we can be dulled by sin. We can get caught up in sin and our faith wavers. And we become prisoners to that sin. We need to confess and yield our hearts completely to Christ, to spend our lives for Him. Verse 17, back in Philippians chapter 2. But even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Even if this is the end here, but he knows it's not, even if this is the finishing touch on what you're doing, finishing touch, even if that's it, and it is, I rejoice. I rejoice, he says. Paul is chained to a Roman guard 24/7. He rejoices in what God is doing through the Philippians and him together for the ministry. He rejoices. He says, I rejoice and share with you all. As I mentioned, he's chained up to a Roman guard. And he shared that he's suffering. He shared back in chapter 1 that God has granted for them to suffer also, for Christ's sake, just as he has suffered. He's suffering, but he's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. When your walk is right with the Lord, there's joy. When it's not, there isn't. It's the reality. But it's not happiness like the world. It's biblical joy. Let's take a look at some verses about joy, and we'll finish up. Turn to Psalm 16, verse 11. You see, joy is summed up in the person of Christ and what he has done for us. It's summed up in a real relationship with Jesus. And when you're walking with him, obeying him, offering yourself up and serving him, there's joy. There's joy no matter what's going on. Psalm 16, verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy, as full as it gets. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Nehemiah 8:10, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Go back to Psalm 5, verse 11. I'm not saying we don't weep as believers and mourn over things that come across our lives, but within that there's still joy. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all who take refuge in who? In thee, be glad. That means your trust in Jesus. He's your strength. He's your refuge. Be glad. Let them what? Ever sing for joy. That's why we sing here. I didn't want to sing before Christ got my life, but I do now. I hope you do too. And thou mayest shelter them, that those who love thy name may exult in thee. For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord, and dost surround him with favor as a shield. Look at Psalm 32, Psalm of David, a Maskil. How blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in his spirit there is no deceit. You're blessed if you're forgiven in Jesus. Then look down at verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who, what? Trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. And here's what we should do because of that. Because that's truth. That's the truth. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. And shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Salvation should bring you joy. God's watching over you should bring you joy. And if it's not, you're not seeing him rightly. Look at Psalm 43, verse 3. Oh, send thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise thee, O God, my God. Psalm 71, verse 23. My lips shall shout for joy when I sing praises to thee. God knows if that was happening today when we were singing, huh? And my soul, which thou hast redeemed. One last one, Psalm 95. Oh, come and let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come in his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He's a great God and he saved you. But what steals joy? Sin. I'm not going to read it, but Psalm 51. David sinned and he was confronted. And when he repented, he said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Joy and holiness are inseparable. When we're walking with the Lord, there's going to be joy. You see, God is so gracious. Joy is summed up in the person of Christ and what he has done for us. And when we walk away from him in sin, joy is lost. Indeed, is not the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and works it in our hearts, right? The fruit of that working in me is love, joy. When God's Word is working in my heart towards all my circumstances and all my situations, and I'm giving myself to Him, it's changing me. There's joy, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. You see that? Paul spent his life, he gave it up for Christ. And in the midst of deep suffering, he could rejoice. We see it in other passages. Count it all joy, James 1, various trials you encounter. Knowing what God is doing. He's proving your faith and he's making you like Christ. As in 1 Peter, we're to rejoice when we're suffering because God's proving our faith. He's proving us genuine. And if he would allow that to happen to the household of God, how much to those, to the wicked, godless man and sinner? He's testing us like metals being tested in fire, that he would be greatly exalted in that day. He would be glorified and we would rejoice with joy inexpressible. Jesus said, when we suffer for him, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. And so Paul says here, but even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice. And notice what he says, and I share my joy with you all. You know one of the problems in the body of Christ? That doesn't happen a lot. But when it does, isn't it wonderful? When someone is truly following Christ and they're truly joyful because of him, not some phony baloney worked up joy, but truly because of their relationship is right with Jesus and God is working in their lives no matter what's going on and they share that joy with you. Look at what Christ is doing. He says, I share this joy with you. We've got a lot of people sharing their complaints and their problems because they're not willing to humbly submit to Christ and confess their sin and get right with Him. I'm not talking about prayer requests for difficulties. I'm talking about complaining and grumbling rather than joy. He says, I rejoice and I share my joy with you. Isn't that wonderful? Someone shares the joy of what Christ has done. It's wonderful. There needs to be more of that being done. And guess what? He admonishes the Philippians to do so and us also. Look at verse 18. And you too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. I urge you, it's not in the original text. You could translate it this way. And you also rejoice in this. You also rejoice. It's the command. You rejoice in what God is doing through the sacrifice and service of your faith as we work together for His glory, which won't be in vain, by the way. You rejoice. Rejoice in this. Rejoice in what God is doing through Jesus Christ. Rejoice. And notice what He says. And then He says, and share your joy with me. Let me hear about it. We need to share our joy with one another. Not phony, baloney, hypocritical, false, pharisaical joy, but what Christ is really doing, what He's doing through yielded, spent lives. And there's going to be difficulty. When you've given up your life to serve Christ, there's going to be difficulty. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and share your joy with one another. And you too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way. It's actually, I command you basically, that's what it is. And share your joy with me. So then we've seen Paul's example of faith to follow. A life completely spent. And it's in the context of obedience, working at your salvation with fear and trembling, working with believers, serving Christ and the gifting that you have, offering yourself up as a sacrifice, spending your life for Him. Paul was sold out to do His will, desiring to know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. What about you? What are you spending your life on? Are you yielded in your heart to Christ? Are you offering yourself day in and day out? Are you willing to do His will, serve Him? What are you spending your life on? From Paul's example, we see the mind of Christ of a life well spent. Christ was perfect. Paul's was well spent. And it would bring glory to God. At the end of his life, he said, I have fought the fight. I've finished the race. The good fight of faith, he finished. What about you? Jesus gives a parable and he says about those stewards. He says to the ones that did the right thing, he said, well done, thou good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, in our few moments that we have together as we close the program, tell us how we can apply this message today.
Well, Dave, after today's message, we should take an honest look at our lives and our hearts. Can you honestly say, looking back, that it's been a life well spent? Are we living each day with the goal in mind to serve the Lord with the gifts that He has bestowed upon us to be good stewards? Are we doing this together with other believers? And of course, this is only possible if we do so by faith, which is the only way to please God. So with that in mind, if your answers to these questions are yes, then you're on your way to having a fulfilled life full of joy in Christ. But if some of your answers to these questions are no, then there needs to be some confessing done before the Lord. Now I pray that this passage has been as much a blessing to you as it has been to me.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.